The moment I graduated from college, I found myself in a long-distance relationship. My girlfriend was on the East Coast. I was trying to break into comedy writing in Los Angeles. Now, if you've ever been in a long-distance relationship, you know that they are completely divorced from reality. Mine was conducted at a fevered pitch with weekends that were full of carefully choreographed grace notes and romantic gestures. It was exhausting. My college girlfriend liked that arrangement just fine. I wanted something more, but any time I broached the subject about her moving west or my moving to New York, she clammed up and looked mildly distressed. So I realized I had to finesse the situation, and I devised this patient long game. In my mind, I was feeding a deer, and I had my arm out, and I wouldn't look her in the eye, I wouldn't spook her, I wouldn't tell her what I needed, and if she got comfortable eating acorns from my hand, eventually she would lie down next to me for the rest of her life. After 6.5 years, I was no closer to that goal, and my arm nearly had to be amputated. And I told her, I want commitment. I want proximity. I want full engagement. And she said, well, I want you to have those things. And I was like, not from the universe, from you. And in this blatant bluff move, I said, so maybe I have to look in Los Angeles. And it was around then that I met Louisa. Now, she was a friend of a friend of a friend, very nice, very earnest, a would-be documentary filmmaker. And according to the friend of a friend, she had a big crush on me. And I suspected that she wasn't really my type, that we wouldn't click. But after 6.5 years of feeding the deer, a homicidal maniac with a big crush was going to be a nice change of pace. So I asked her out, and we started seeing each other. And right away, there were red flags. I mean, she wanted to sculpt and savor the magic moments, and she just tried too hard. And it's really uncomfortable to see someone strain for magic. I mean, no one likes being entertained by a sweaty magician. You know, we went to the Santa Monica Pier, and we got on the Ferris wheel, and a little ways in, she said that she wanted a kiss for an entire revolution. You know, and I was game. But it was right around then that they began to stop and start the ride to let people on and off. And the kiss was not sustainable. And she was so bummed out. She wanted to control the metaphors. And that was a problem. Also a problem with sex. Now, at that point in my life, sex was, you know, late night FM jazz. Louisa was raucous and effusive. It was like Dixieland jazz. And that's fine. But at that point, when the five horns are winding around each other and it's all, you know, heading towards a big finish, she would lock her knees and freeze up and practically push me away. You know, she had never had an orgasm, and she had real issues with intimacy and trust. And at one dinner, she told me point blank, I don't want to get hurt, which is kind of a move. But I was right there saying, yeah, I'm not going to hurt you. And she said, well, you know, we just have to be responsible about how we proceed. And I completely agreed. And I still had these nagging doubts. And, you know, a week or two later, I should have come back and said, I don't think that this is going to work. And instead, I said, I love you. Actually, that's not what I said. I said, I don't want to be irresponsible, but I think I'm falling in love with you. Which is kind of an evil line. I mean, it was just very cunning. I'd love to diagram it on a blackboard for you. First of all, I was retaining the right to bolt for the emergency exit. Because this wasn't a declaration of finality. It was, I think, dot, dot, dot. But it was also, it was so tailored for the audience. It was like it had been focus tested. You know, who's the demographic? Well, a skittish woman with a crush who doesn't want to get hurt. Wow, this is a home run. I mean, who wouldn't want to say this line to her? Well, somebody who wasn't falling in love. So why did I do it? Well, yeah, I was sending a message to the college girlfriend on the East Coast. See what happens? But I was also in a hurry. You know, I wanted to settle this part of my life in the worst way. And I planted a flag up the mountain and told myself, just put your head down and march. Which is not a recipe for a lovely romance. And Louisa told me that she related this to her therapist. And they agreed that, you know, even though I said I didn't want to be irresponsible, that was so great. That was so responsible of me. So I had faked out her and her therapist. Yay. I was in so deep. I had commitment. I had proximity. I had full engagement. I was the kid who gets the pony for Christmas and goes, God damn, I don't know how to take care of a pony. And, you know, when you say a bullshit, I love you, there's two ways to go, I think. You can, in 48 hours, retract and walk away guilty with massive egg on your face. Or you explore it a bit more because maybe this is going to be the real thing and you want to be sure, so you take a little time. I took 17 months. I am a time thief. My kids asked me, you know, Dad, did you take drugs in the 80s? And I said, yeah, but mainly I was conducting crazy experiments with ambivalence. You know, 17 months of highs and lows and twists and turns, and I kept thinking, this is all right. This is working. She is great. This could be the relationship. And then my knees would lock, and I would freeze and practically push her away. You know, so maybe we were a perfect match. But, you know, I would get up these optimistic heads of steam, and then the stupidest things would knock me off the rails. Louisa wanted to have a beach party so that she could have all of her friends from USC there and, you know, her fabulous boyfriend, and I was game, and I made a whole bunch of barbecue chicken the day before, and we went out there, and we had a really good time. And at a certain point, we started a spontaneous wiffle ball game. And we were using towels as the bases. And some of the women wrapped the towels around them so, you know, they'd never be off base and you couldn't tag them out. And I was pitching and Louisa came up to bat and I said, the bases are loaded and we can't find them. Which is a little bit amusing. But she dropped the bat and fell to the sand, laughing uncontrollably for like a minute. And I smelled a rat. And on the drive home, I said, hey, what was that thing that I said that cracked you up? And she was almost irritated. She said, I don't remember. And I said, yeah, that's right. Because it wasn't about the line for you. For a comedy writer, it's all about the line. But for you, it was about the friends and the chicken and the boyfriend. And, you know, and when the guy who says the bullshit I love you is getting ticked off at the woman who fake laughed uncontrollably on her back, it's not a good relationship. And we were starting to realize that, but sticking to my timeline, we took about 3 or 4 more months to really confront this. And then we had a conversation about how, you know, we didn't quite work as a couple. And then we went to sleep. And then a little while later, we had a conversation about how we didn't work as a couple. And Louisa said that was a problem for her. And I thought, she's going to break up with me because a man can dream. But then we went to sleep. And then a little while later, we had a conversation about how we didn't work as a couple. And I said, yeah, that was a problem for me. And maybe we should break up. And she burst into tears. And I honestly, she sobbed for 2 hours. And I was living in this little apartment. And the effect of someone crying violently for 2 hours transformed it into this humid, tropical hothouse that smelled of sex, which was a strange biological twist. I don't know if it was the pheromones or what, but it was very distracting. And Louisa said, you know, look, I'm having this going away party for this friend, and there's that wedding that I told you about. Can we please go to those things before we split? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay, but what do we tell my friends? And I said, well, you can say that we're on our farewell tour. Which, if I had said it at the beach, she would have fallen to the sand and laughed uncontrollably, but she burst into tears again. And I sat there wringing my hands, wondering, you know, why don't I think first before I say things? And why do I have this urge to fuck my apartment? When you've been a jerk and you've promised somebody you're not going to hurt them, and then over 17 months you slow drip, break their heart, you have to live with that. There's no witness protection program for assholes. And like, about the best thing that you can do is sneak into the other camp and drink your fill of unrequited yearning. So a month later, there I was on the streets of New York, acorns in my hand, hoping I was still in time for deer season.